Or be drowned in blissful confusion. Author's notes. Started a shamefully long time ago for a prompt on AI kink meme, and nowhere near finished. The prompt? Chris Adam AU. Adam and Chris are in high school. Adam starts a gay straight alliance, and Katie and her friends want to join. Katie is dating Chris, and she makes him come along. He realizes he has feelings for Adam, slash is gay, slash etc. Something about them working together in the GSA too, if you can. Things to know about the AU timeline. This fic is set in 2000 to 2001, and ages are rearranged a little so that Adam is a senior and Katie and Chris are sophomores. "What are you doing after school on Wednesday?" Katie said at the tail end of their lunch period. Chris had the feeling she was leading up to something he wasn't going to like. Mostly because she hadn't stolen a single french fry from him today. She only stopped helping herself to his food when something was up. "Why?" he asked, trying not to sound too suspicious. Katie didn't seem to be fooled. "I want you to come to the Gay Straight Alliance meeting with me," she said. "Whoa," Chris said. "Why are you... You're not trying to tell me something here, are you?" She rolled her eyes. "Notice the word straight in the name? We can be part of the straight half, okay? A bunch of us from the team are going, to support Marie, but that's all girls, and I thought it would be cool if you went." "Wait, Marie is gay?" "Yeah, she has a girlfriend." "Who?" "No one from here. They met on the internet. She lives in Memphis or something. So not the point. Will you come with me or not?" "Why do we have a gay straight alliance all of a sudden?" Chris said. He'd noticed the flyers, on neon pink and green paper, up all around the school, but hadn't thought about it beyond that, except to wonder what a gay straight alliance actually did. His points of reference for the word alliance were Survivor and World War II, neither of which made a ton of sense in this context. "Adam Lambert is starting it," Katie said. Like that explained everything. Which, it kinda did. Adam was 2 years older than they were, and in addition to being a fixture in the choir in the spring musical, he had also starred in last year's impromptu production of High School Gossip Hell by not bothering to hide the fact that he was going out with another one of the theater kids, who happened to be a guy named Mark. They held hands in the hall and everything. Chris had felt bad for them, getting whispered about all the time, and someone had painted fag on Adam's locker and nail polish. And maybe that was what a gay straight alliance was about. Trying to stop that stuff. Chris had seen Adam in the hallway the other day, not holding hands with anyone. His hair was black now. It made him look taller. "Okay," Chris said. "I'll go with you." "You are awesome," Katie said, and leaned over to kiss him on the cheek. She also snagged one of his last three fries. On Wednesday, Chris met Katie and her lacrosse team friends in the lobby after school. And they all trooped off to room 215 together for the meeting. Chris held Katie's hand while they walked, which he did all the time without thinking about it, but right now it seemed like a statement. Room 215 was in the English wing and had a poster of Shakespeare on the door, and Chris wasn't sure what he'd been expecting, but the classroom itself was occupied by a bunch of people sitting around in little groups, talking. There was a weird, awkward moment when everyone stared at each other, and then Adam, who was sitting cross-legged on a desk, said, "See, I told you non-drama club people would show up," which was directed to a blonde girl to his right, and then, "Hi, come sit down, we don't bite," which was directed to the clump of lacrosse girls and Chris, who were still loitering in the doorway. "Unless you ask nicely," said the blonde girl. Chris was pretty sure she'd played Tiger Lily in Peter Pan last year. "Come on, don't scare them away," Adam said. "They just got here. We haven't even opened the Oreos." They all filed in and sat down, making their own little group. Chris listened to Katie talk to her friend Jess about a scrimmage they had next week. And in his other ear, Adam was talking to a couple drama club girls. "So Mark's not coming?" one of them said. "He has his mom's car and had to pick her up at work or something," Adam said. "Whatever. Do you think we should drag the desks into a circle?" "Then we'd have to drag them back later," said blonde girl. Chris silently applauded her logic. "Yeah, okay," Adam said. And then some more people wandered in, and Katie asked Chris about whether he was going to her cousin's BBQ this Saturday, and he discussed the merits of macaroni salad versus potato salad with Katie and Jess, until Adam raised his voice. He could seriously project. Everyone turned to look at him. Chris was pretty sure he was wearing eyeliner and said, "Okay, that's probably everybody. Should we start? Welcome to the Gay Straight Alliance. I'm Adam." "Hi, Adam," chorused the drama club contingent, AA meeting style. Chris looked around the room and guessed that there were maybe 15 or so people there. Besides him and Adam, there were three other guys, one of whom played timpani in the orchestra. He felt the absurd urge to wave. "Hi," Adam said back. "I'm glad you're all here. Miss Ostrander is technically our faculty advisor, but she thought it'd be easier for us to talk without a teacher, so she's not here. I guess we could start with questions, if anyone has any questions about whatever." "What did you do to your hair?" one of the drama club girls asked. Her hair was half green, so Chris really didn't think she had a leg to stand on here. "Thank you, Alicia," Adam said, rolling his eyes, shoving some of his hair off his face. "I was in Greece over the summer. I thought the whole Dick's ass pompadour thing would look better in black. Are there any questions not about my hair?" "What does this club do?" asked one of the lacrosse girls. "It creates a safe space, hopefully. Just somewhere where everyone can feel comfortable talking about stuff, their orientation, whatever. And then we can hopefully get some speakers, maybe have a safe sex program, or screen a movie, or..." "Adam wants to use this alliance to host the winter formal," blonde girl said. "I'm just warning you, this is his evil plan." "Oh, come on," Adam said. "They don't even try to have a theme for it. If this dance is called the Snowball one more time, I'll cry." "But that's just secondary," he added hastily. "I'm serious. If we can fundraise and host the dance, that's great. But that's not the point. The point is for people to be able to know that it's okay. That whatever they feel, it's okay. And they can sit down and talk about it." It was silent for a moment. As much as he didn't want to work on the winter formal, Chris felt glad to be there. This felt important somehow. He reached out for Katie's hand again, and she squeezed his fingers. He looked up, and Adam was looking at him. He smiled what he hoped was a, "You're doing fine, man. Keep going," smile. Adam smiled back. He was definitely wearing eyeliner, and started talking again. "So, I guess we need to establish that nothing we say leaves this room." "It's like Vegas," blonde girl said. Adam grinned at her. "Exactly. What happens here stays here. We need to be able to trust each other." "Can we all introduce ourselves?" Katie said, and Chris almost laughed. Katie could be intensely, if good-naturedly, nosy. It had to be driving her nuts not to know exactly who everyone in the room was. "Sure," Adam said. "Good idea. I'm Adam. I'm an Aquarius. I like pina coladas, but getting caught in the rain sucks." People giggled, and things got a little less awkward from there. Blonde girl's name turned out to be Megan. Chris told everyone he was Chris and that he played guitar. Marie took a deep breath and said her name was Marie and her girlfriend's name was Alexandra. Chris just listened after that. Marie talked a little bit about wanting to come out to her parents. Adam and a drama club girl named Nina talked about their experiences coming out to their parents. Rob, the guy who played timpani, talked about his uncle being gay. The girl with the half-green hair wanted to tell them about a sex dream she had about Jessica Alba, which Adam vetoed as slightly off-topic for now. From there, they just started talking about other stuff. And all of a sudden, Katie was telling a story about the gerbil she had in third grade, and Chris felt more or less at home. At 2:45, they decided to wrap things up and break out the snacks, and people split off into separate conversations again. Chris was mid-Oreo. He liked to twist them apart and then save the half with more frosting for last, when Adam, who was wandering around talking to everyone, sidled up to him. "Hey," he said. Chris made a, sorry, chewing gesture and waved at him. "You're in the orchestra, right? You play violin?" "Viola," Chris said, trying not to look shocked that Adam knew that. "Cool," Adam said. "Thanks for coming. Seriously, I knew my friends would show up, but it means a lot that other people are here. Especially, just, thanks." Chris knew Adam was probably saying this to everybody, but he got the sense Adam meant it. He looked completely sincere and happy and relieved and kind of tired all at once. Chris wanted to give him a hug, which was crazy. They'd never even spoken to each other before. "No problem," he said instead, shoving the hand that wasn't holding an Oreo half in his pocket. "I think this is a really good idea. See you next week?"
"Definitely."
"That was fun, right?" Katie said as they waited for the bus. She wrapped her arms around Chris's waist. "I think Marie is like floating. She's so happy to finally talk about that stuff. And Adam seems so nice. You'll come back with me next week, right?"
"Definitely," Chris said.
The GSA. Chris loved that there was an acronym. It was so much easier to say. Had a weird, constantly changing membership. People came in for one meeting, talked or didn't talk, and didn't show up again. "I think they're just curious," Adam said when Megan mentioned this. "Or they have like one gay issue to get off their chest. So they come and talk and then they're done. As long as they're not just assholes spreading gossip, I don't think it matters." There were people who came every week though, and they were all sort of bonding. Chris hadn't really planned on being in this for the long haul. He thought Katie would be satisfied that Marie was among friends and they'd stop going, but he was happy that they were staying. He'd never really talked to any of the GSA members, except Katie and a couple of her friends, before this, and he liked them. There were moments when he felt like he could sort of see them all from an outsider's perspective, the warm, fuzzy, breakfast club type vibe of different people getting along, or whatever. From the inside, it seemed stupider and stupider that anyone would assume they couldn't get along because he and Katie were on sports teams and Adam and Megan had dyed hair and tattoos, respectively. Megan had 2 tattoos so far, which Adam bitched at her about because he thought it was dumb of her to get tattooed somewhere they clearly didn't care that her ID was fake. The meetings themselves were fun. They mostly just talked, sometimes about their classes or what fundraising stuff they were going to do or what radio stations sucked, but also about sexual orientation stuff, which always made Chris feel sort of at a loss. His story about how he told his mom he wanted to marry his best friend James in kindergarten, and she told him boys couldn't marry boys, didn't seem worth telling. He'd never thought about how relatively easy things were for him and Katie before. He wasn't sure he wanted to be thinking about it now. It made him feel sad and twisty guilty and angry all at once. He'd asked Katie out, and everyone, his friends, her friends, their families, random nosy acquaintances, thought it was adorable. They went to the movies and kissed hello at her locker, and no one ever told them they were disgusting or wrong or going to hell. Chris tried to imagine what it would be like, knowing that you'd have to deal with that, and he never got very far before he felt like just wandering around punching people who'd been mean to Adam and Mark last year, or who asked Alicia if she was a lesbian because she had short hair and was in the GSA. Alicia actually seemed to think it was cool that people assumed she was a lesbian, but that wasn't the point. It wasn't all heavy, though. Marie brought in a picture of her girlfriend, and everyone agreed that she had awesome hair. And Nina's grandmother was apparently so excited when Nina told her about the GSA that she baked them a batch of oatmeal raisin cookies with rainbow sprinkles. Nina rolled her eyes a little about this being her grandmother's contribution to the gay rights movement, but her cookies were really good. They did regular club stuff too, like deciding who their officers were and deciding to have a car wash before it got too cold. The car wash, which was organized by Katie and the other lacrosse girls with a kind of efficiency Chris hadn't known they possessed, ended up being held the last week in September. As far as Chris was concerned, it was already too cold for a car wash, but Adam's mom showed up at lunchtime with a huge assortment of beach towels and old blankets for them to wrap themselves in while they ate sandwiches. Chris got into a sponge fight with Katie, who dropped ice cubes down his shirt in retaliation, because she was at least 20% evil, and washed someone's giant SUV. "I feel like we're at SeaWorld washing a whale," Adam said, with Adam while trading, for some reason, their worst camping trip ever stories. Chris's involved torrential rain and frogs laying eggs in his tent. Adam's involved a raccoon eating all of his family's food. Chris missed his bus one day, and he was sitting on a bench in front of the school, trying to decide whether to hang around waiting for the after-school bus or just walk home, when someone pulled up to the curb and honked at him. Chris jumped about a foot in the air,
and looked up to find Adam leaning across the front seat of his boxy black Volkswagen hatchback to roll down the passenger side window. "Sorry I startled you," he half yelled out the window. "Do you need a ride?"
"You don't mind?" Chris said, walking over to the car.
"Not at all. Let me just..."
Adam tossed his backpack into the back seat of the car, which had 4 or 5 jackets strewn across it, and picked up a box of cassette tapes, looking around for a place to put them.
"I can hold those," Chris said, climbing into the car and putting his own backpack and his Viola case on the floor. Adam handed the box over to him, and Chris rested it on his lap and tried to pretend he didn't want to rifle through it immediately. He wasn't sure if it counted as rude, like going through someone's medicine cabinet.
"I try to pretend these have retro appeal," he said, "but obviously it's just because the car is old."
He popped the current tape, something guitar-heavy that Chris didn't recognize, out of the tape deck and dropped it in the box.
"I like cassettes," Chris said. "I still have all of mine."
"Me too! These are just my driving music. I've got more at home. You can put on whatever you want," Adam said, waving a hand at the box in Chris's lap.
"I mean, if you want to."
"Awesome!" Chris said, enjoying the explicit permission to go through the tapes. Adam had a lot of older rock stuff. Led Zeppelin, Queen, The Doors, some musicals. Chris was pretty sure Rent was a musical. And a lot of mixes, which just had stuff like Disco or Hurt from Megan. Chris was trying to decide between Summer Mix 1.5 and Love Songs Side A, Non-Depressing. When he flipped it over, the other side was Love Songs Side B, Depressing, which made him smile.
"How do I get to your house?" Adam said, and Chris realized they were stopped at the exit to the school parking lot, Adam's hand hovering over the lever that controlled his turn signals.
"Oh, sorry," he said. "Turn right, and then you want to turn right again when you get to Maple."
"Okay," Adam said, and Chris popped Love Songs Side A, Non-Depressing, into the tape deck. It was in the middle of a song with a female vocalist asking someone to love her, say that they love her. It sounded really familiar.
"Where have I heard this before?" Chris asked.
"It's on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack," Adam said, and it clicked into place in Chris's head. Katie had carried that CD everywhere for a while. He remembered what the album jacket looked like even. "I wanted to do it for a talent show a couple years ago, but my falsetto wasn't really good enough to handle a full song in." Chris just listened to the song for a second and thought about it as Adam made the right turn onto Maple Street.
"You could do it lower."
"You think so? I think it would sound wrong. It's just so, I don't know, light and sweet. It needs the higher pitched vocals."
"Are you listening to the lyrics?"
Chris hit the rewind button for a few seconds and then hit play again.
"I will end up lost in confusion,"
the girl sang.
"I don't care if you really care as long as you don't go."
"See? She's all crying and praying and begging," Chris said as the chorus came on again. "If you slowed this down and changed some notes and just did it with a guitar, it would be totally depressing. You have it on the wrong side of the tape."
"Whoa," Adam said, turning away from the road to look at Chris briefly.
"Let me think about that for a second. I've sung this song a million times, but I've never heard it that way. I want to hear your version. You play guitar, you should cover it."
"Yeah, maybe," Chris said.
He could already hear it coming together in his head, the way he could try and strum the guitar in a way that simulated the 2-beat drum burst of synth organ, or whatever it was on the verses. He looked at the window, considering the song, and laughed.
"We just missed the turn for my house."
"I can turn around," Adam said. Chris looked over at him. People looked different to him when they were driving, somehow. Maybe because it was weird to talk to someone and look at them in profile at the same time. Adam's nose looked really good in profile, sort of sharp and elegant.
"Nah, just make your next left. All the streets connect. Sorry, I forgot I had to give you directions."
"No problem," Adam said, putting on his left turn signal.
"I can hear it in my head a little," Chris said.
"The depressing version of this song. I don't know if it'll work right, though."
"I'm just jealous that you play guitar.
I had, 3 piano lessons as a kid, and that was the limit of my patience. Now I wish I'd sucked it up and stuck with it."
I can play piano a little. I don't practice it enough. We should have a band, Adam said. Do you play drums too?
No, Chris said, but I know one song on bass. You want to make another left turn at the next street up ahead.
What song?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
What? He said, because Adam was laughing all of a sudden. My friend who plays bass said it was the easiest bass line he could teach me.
You're surprising. You don't really seem like a Nirvana kind of guy.
I thought everyone liked Nirvana, Chris said.
Yeah, I guess so, Adam said. The Romeo and Juliet song was replaced by the opening chords of The Cure's Friday I'm in Love. Chris grinned.
Good song, he said.
Adam nodded, tapping his fingers along on the steering wheel.
Okay, turn right on the next street, and my house is halfway down the block.
They were silent until Chris pointed out his house, just listening to Robert Smith sing the days of the week until they pulled into Chris's driveway. Adam popped the Love Songs, Depressing and Non, tape out of the tape deck and looked at it.
Oh, this mix. That's what you meant about having the song on the wrong side.
Yeah, this mix is kind of a mess. I wanted to do all songs with love in the title, but I gave up halfway through.
Anyway, take the tape, he said, holding it out to Chris, in case you want to work on that cover.
Thanks, Chris said, taking the tape and picking up his backpack.
And thanks for the ride.
He kind of didn't want to get out of the car. He wanted to drive around talking about music some more. Or he wanted to invite Adam and his box of tapes in so they could sprawl out in the living room and take over the stereo until Chris's mom made them set the table for dinner. He almost felt like Adam would be okay with that. Like he'd say yes, and Chris could drag his guitar out, and it would be a really nice afternoon.
You're welcome, Adam said, and Chris snapped out of it and opened the door.
See you on Wednesday?
See you on Wednesday, Chris said, shifting the box of tapes back into the passenger seat as he got out of the car.
Do you have my Walkman? Chris said, leaning into Daniel's room.
You're like surgically attached to that thing, Daniel said. I wouldn't take it.
No, not the CD one, the tape player one.
Why would I want your tape player? Daniel said.
And Chris figured he had a point. He went back to his room and dug around some more, and eventually found his Walkman under his bed. In a shoebox with his shin guards from the 3 weeks he'd spent on the soccer team in sixth grade. He put his headphones on and settled in to listen to Adam's Love Song tape while pretending to read The Red Badge of Courage. He didn't recognize or like all the songs, and he definitely didn't agree with all of Adam's decisions about what was depressing or non-depressing, or even what was a love song. He was pretty sure Aerosmith's Love in an Elevator didn't count just because it had love in the title. But it was fun. He wondered if Adam had made it thinking about Mark. Mark and Adam weren't together anymore, but Chris wasn't sure what the story was. Or maybe he'd made it with Mark last year. The two of them lying on the floor in Adam's room. He imagined Adam's room probably had a lot of posters and jackets everywhere. Talking and kissing while each song copied from CD to tape. He realized he was thinking of Adam with his black hair, now Adam, and not last year Adam, and he felt creepy about the whole thing all of a sudden, so he shut off the tape and did his math homework instead. He'd meant to talk to Adam about the tape at the next GSA meeting. He was hoping Adam had a track listing for it, for one thing. And he wanted to give Adam a high five for the inclusion of Only in Dreams on the depressing side of the tape, which was one of Chris's favorite Weezer songs. His plans got derailed, though, when, after a discussion about maybe having a bake sale, Megan said, "But what are we even raising funds for? Are we hosting this dance or not?"
"I don't know," Adam said. "Should we?"
"Don't pretend you don't want to," Megan said. "You totally deserve to go to at least one dance at this school that's actually good."
"Everyone deserves something better than the snowball," Alicia chimed in. They'll just use giant paper snowflakes for decorations again. Okay, Adam said with a sigh, like the thought of giant paper snowflakes was just too much to bear. But we all have to agree on it. I don't want to just decide for everyone. We can vote right now, Nina said. Who wants us to host the winter formal? Everyone raised their hands, even Rob, the timpani kid, who'd only come to two meetings, and two girls who'd never been to a meeting before. Maybe everyone hated giant paper snowflakes. Now tell them about the theme, Megan said, poking Adam's shoulder. I was thinking the Wizard of Oz, Adam said. He looked tentative. I mean, I know the GSA doing that theme is kind of a cliche. Rainbows, Friends of Dorothy, blah, blah, blah. But there's so much cool scenery we could use for ideas. I was thinking that we could have paintings of the whole narrative of the movie going around the walls, you know? The black and white part on the farm, then the tornado, then Munchkin Land, with all the really bright colors. That would be awesome, Katie said. Adam grinned at her. The student council usually does the winter formal, he said. I asked about it when I got permission to form the GSA, so we'd have to see if they'd mind surrendering it. I'm on student council, Katie's friend Jess said. You should come to the next meeting. We just spent way too much money on homecoming stuff, so it's a good time to ask. Everyone is all freaked out about the budget. Seriously? Adam said, almost bouncing in his chair. Seriously, Jess said. The meeting is next Monday. Okay, Adam said. Perfect. Do I need to make a chart about what a good idea this is, or just promise them that I'm not going to hire cage dancers? Why would you deny us cage dancers? Alicia said. I wouldn't if I could help it, Adam said, with complete sincerity. Guess what? Katie said, right after Chris said hello. Chris cradled the phone between his ear and his shoulder so he could keep holding his guitar. What? We get to do the Wizard of Oz dance, she said. Jess just called me. I think we're technically co-hosting it with the student council, so we get to use some of their money, and we have to let them help, but we get to do it. Awesome, Chris said, and played a G7, which was sort of a sweet celebratory chord. Are you playing guitar? Sort of. Chris shifted the guitar so it was flat on his lap and held onto the phone so he could straighten his neck. I bet Adam is really happy. Yeah, I'm sure, Katie said. He could hear her smiling through the phone. He smiled back, even though she couldn't see him. This is so cool. I wanted to be on the dance committee last year, but it's going to be so much better this year anyway. I was thinking we should have munchkins, you know, from Dunkin' Donuts, as snacks, because of the name. Chris shifted the guitar around again and played an E minor, just to express his slight dismay at the realization that this dance had probably just staged a quiet, very effective takeover of his life. Really shitty of him not to show up ever, Nina was saying when Chris walked into the next meeting. Adam raised his eyebrows at Chris as a greeting. He barely even talked to me when I asked him about it. He's kind of a douchebag. He's not a douchebag just because he wants to avoid me, Adam said. He shrugged. Breakups are awkward. Yeah, but this is a club. Alliance, Alicia said from the corner, where she was drawing on her backpack. Chris was happy he wasn't the only one semi-eavesdropping. Whatever, it's not like he'd even have to talk to you if he didn't want to. He's not avoiding you. He's trying to avoid people remembering that he's gay. Can you blame him? He was really upset about all that shit last year. So were you, Nina insisted. But you did something about it. Chris missed the rest of the conversation because Katie and Marie and Jess arrived and wanted his opinion about whether cinnamon rolls were a good idea for a bake sale. Because people might not want them if they were cold, and Marie thought maybe they could heat them up in the microwave in the teacher's lounge, but that would only solve the problem temporarily. The rest of the meeting revolved mostly around bake sale or dance stuff, and Chris sort of zoned out after he and Katie agreed to make 2 pounds of brownies. He had something they were playing in orchestra stuck in his head, probably because he subconsciously felt guilty about not practicing it more. So he spent the meeting half hearing about the cinnamon roll dilemma and how Claire and Zoe, the two girls who had mysteriously showed up last week and were now apparently an integral part of dance planning, might know somewhere they could rent a cotton candy machine. "Who wants to use the paper cutter?" Adam said all of a sudden. And he was doing that projecting thing with his voice, so Chris looked up. "I have to go copy bake sale flyers, but I made them 2 to a page. We're not really supposed to make that many copies." "I'll go," Chris said, and the two of them left everyone else to argue about whether cotton candy had anything to do with The Wizard of Oz, and whether that even mattered, because cotton candy was awesome. "I'm a little afraid to leave them by themselves," Adam said once they were safely down the hall. "They're going to be fighting about whether an entire carnival midway and Ferris wheel will fit in the gym by the time we get back." Chris laughed. "Do you think we could get bumper cars?" "Oh, probably. I hope we don't get overrun with people who just want to plan a dance," Adam said. "I think we might start missing the point. I just want everyone to actually care about making the school a less terrifying place." "Were you and Nina talking about Mark at the beginning of the meeting?" Chris hadn't exactly meant to say that, but there it was. "Yeah," Adam said. "Nina gets a little, I don't know, something. I don't know if she's right or not, about him hoping people would forget he's gay. We don't really talk." "So it didn't work out between you guys? You and Mark, not you and Nina." "Not really. We weren't right for each other." "Sorry," Chris said. "I didn't mean to pry or anything." "It's okay. You're allowed to ask questions." "Okay," Chris said as they walked into the coffee room. He had a lot of questions, really, most of which he wasn't going to ask. Like what exactly not right for each other meant. Or if it was different kissing a guy than a girl. Or how Adam decided whether or not he was going to wear eyeliner on any given day. Because sometimes he had it on and sometimes he didn't. Chris found it kind of fascinating. "Do you have a track listing for that tape I borrowed from you?" "The mix from my car?" Adam said, looking at Chris over his shoulder as he went through the shelves of colored paper. "I don't know. It's from a while ago. I might have one somewhere." "I recognize some of the songs. I love that Only in Dreams is on there." "It's a good song," Adam said. "What do you think? Does this say bake sale to you?" He held up some turquoise paper. "That's really bright." "Good." Adam loaded it into the copier tray and hit the start button. "But yeah, I love Only in Dreams. It has that great bass line, and the lyrics are so simple, but they're really perfect." "But it's about a girl," Chris blurted out. There was a pause, during which he wondered if there were any convenient rolls of tape around so he could tape his mouth shut. "It's about wanting someone you're sure you'll never have," Adam said. "I'm not so picky about the pronouns." "I'm sorry, I don't know why I even said that," Chris mumbled, half hoping the noise of the copier would drown him out. "Give me some credit," Adam said, handing Chris some warm, freshly copied flyers. "I can tell the difference between curious and trying to be an asshole. You're curious." He shrugged. Chris concentrated really hard on cutting flyers in half. "Did you ever do that cover?" Adam asked after a minute. "Of Love Fool?" "I tried it," Chris said, and he still felt stupid, but at least they were talking about something else. "I found some guitar tabs online. You were half right. The verses work okay, but when you slow down the chorus, it just sounds like a joke. I couldn't figure out how to fix it." Adam handed Chris another stack of flyers, with a look on his face that Chris somehow knew meant he was trying to hear all this in his head. "What if you combined the two?" he said. "Like, the verses are depressing, and then the chorus is still up-tempo." "It would still need other instruments, though," Chris said, tapping the flyers on the table so they were all in alignment, and handing them back over to Adam. "Half the problem is the single acoustic guitar thing." Adam considered that. "I think you're right. You know, it's weird that we haven't run into each other before. With the whole," he made a vague hand gesture, "music thing." I was going to be in the orchestra for the musical last year, Chris said, but half the rehearsals were at the same time as baseball games. Yeah, okay, Adam said, like that wasn't what he meant at all. There's probably a karaoke track for that song, he mused. You could use that for the chorus, if you made a tape with just the chorus part on it. This sounds really complicated, Chris said. Adam shrugged again. Probably, but that's what makes it fun. Chris and Katie baked their promised pans of brownies at Katie's house, which was kind of weird. Chris felt like he was in middle school home ec when making cornbread and cheap aluminum pans was secondary to getting in water flicking fights and flirting with the girls who were assigned to his little classroom kitchen. But he felt like Katie was maybe playing house a little bit. She had him wearing his dad's BBQing apron, which had chili peppers all over it, and fell a few inches past Chris's knees. And he didn't know exactly what she expected from him. So he just read the directions on the box of brownie mix out loud and stirred what she told him to stir. And occasionally her mum would pop into the kitchen to make sure they weren't burning down the house or making out on the counter. They curled up on the couch to watch Saved by the Bell on Nickelodeon while the brownies baked. And that was better, because all he had to do was sit there and make fun of Zach's giant cell phone while Katie rested her head on his shoulder. Her hair was soft against his face, and the faintly floral scent of her shampoo was sweetly familiar. Katie had her mom drive her to school the next morning, so she didn't have to carry the brownies on the bus. So Chris really didn't need to stop by the bake sale table in the lobby first thing in the morning, but he did anyway. Katie was already there, talking to Megan, while Adam rearranged stuff on the table. Your brownies got here before you did, Adam said, shifting the tray of much-debated cinnamon rolls around to make more space for a plate of cupcakes. They look really good. They're just from a mix, Chris said. Katie leaned over the table, smacking him on the arm. You're not supposed to tell people that, she stage whispered.
Sorry, Chris said. We made them from scratch, from a secret recipe.
It's been in my family for generations, Katie added. The lobby was between the science wing and the music wing, so Chris wandered by the bake sale to say hi between his bio class and orchestra. Adam was sitting there with Claire, or maybe Zoe. Chris wasn't sure, talking to someone who was trying to decide what to buy. The brownies are good, he was saying. They're totally from a secret recipe. He gave Chris a big, stagey wink and a half wave, which, for some reason, made Chris grin every time he thought of it for the rest of the day. It was hard to smile and play the viola at the same time, but he managed. Chris and Katie ran the bake sale during their lunch period. Their lunches balanced in the space between baked goods. For the first 10 minutes of the period, they were super busy. And then things calmed down, and they ate their sandwiches and talked until a guy in a Metallica t-shirt walked by and stopped in front of the table. Can we help you? Katie said, after he just sort of poked around at everything for a minute. Are these cookies going to make me gay? The guy said, holding up a bag of chocolate chip cookies and smirking. Yes, Chris said, as cheerily as possible. If you buy them, we can go to prom together. Okay, the guy said slowly and put the cookies down. Once he was down the hall, Katie grabbed Chris in a sideways hug and kissed him, so quickly that Chris barely had time to put his hand on her shoulder and kiss back. You shouldn't have done that, she said, but she was smiling. We could have used his money to buy crepe paper. I'm just glad I didn't have to go to prom with him, Chris said. I bet he wouldn't even get us a limo. I bet, Katie said, and scooted her chair a little closer. Chris put a dollar in the cash box and grabbed them a cupcake to share. Chris had a study hall the almost last period of the school day, so he'd sign up for another bake sale shift. Becky, one of the drama club girls, had also volunteered, and they got to talking about Chris's history teacher, who was Becky's history teacher last year, so she told Chris about what projects would probably get assigned, and they commiserated about the stupidity of weekly current events reports. Chris leaned his elbow on the last remaining bag of chocolate chip cookies on purpose,
and they were just untying the curling ribbon holding the bag closed when Adam walked around the corner, holding a large foam treble clef with hall pass written on it. "Music theory?" Becky said, gesturing at the treble clef. Adam nodded, surveying what was left on the bake sale table. "We're not doing anything in there today. Lisa's debating with Mr. Wallace about solos in the Christmas Carol medley." He rolled his eyes. "I don't think they'll notice if I ever come back or not." "Sit with us," Chris said. "These cookies just got mysteriously broken." Becky nodded. "It's tragic. We have to eat them ourselves." "Well, obviously," Adam said, sitting down next to Chris and grabbing a cookie. "Do these have macadamia nuts in them?" "I don't know," Becky said. "Alicia made them." "We hardly have anything left," Chris said through a mouthful of cookie. The cinnamon rolls were all gone by third period. "We should probably do another one of these, or maybe two," Adam said. "Has anyone counted the money yet?" "I'll count it," Becky said, sliding the cash box over to her end of the table. "So, you're in music theory?" Chris asked, poking at the foam treble clef, which Adam had dropped on the table. "Should I take that? I was thinking about it." "Honestly," Adam said, "I don't know if you'd learn anything you didn't already know, since you're already in orchestra and everything. A lot of people take it just for their arts requirement, so it goes pretty slow if you already know anything about music. And then if you stick around, I'm technically in music theory 3 right now, it turns into just choir people sitting around arguing. So, unless you like arguments about who sings what in Ave Maria?" "Not so much, no," Chris said, shaking some of the chocolate chip crumbs from the bottom of the bag into his palm and offering the rest to Adam. "Hi," someone said, and Chris looked up. A girl he sort of recognized was standing in front of their table, holding a camera. "I'm taking pictures for the yearbook. Can I get one of you guys?" "Sure," Chris said, and leaned over so he could put his arm around Adam's shoulders. Adam tensed up a little and gave Chris a sidelong glance. Chris wondered what that was about for a second. Adam was always hugging Megan, or braiding teeny braids into Marie's hair, or, and this image was imprinted in Chris's mind with a weird vividness, offering Nina his arm in the hallway, the formal old-fashionedness of the gesture ruined by the fact that he was laughing when he did it, his eyes all crinkled up. So it wasn't that he minded being touched, it was just... And then it all clicked into place in Chris's mind, that was all girls, that Adam figured it was okay for him to be touchy-friendly with girls. But maybe he thought that Chris would get weirded out because he was gay. And there was just no way in hell that Chris was going to let him go on thinking that, because it was so messed up. And not true. He shifted a little closer, so their knees bumped together under the table. Adam looked over at him again, this time with the corner of his mouth quirking up into a smile, and put his arm around Chris. His hand felt warm, unpleasantly heavy curled around Chris's shoulder, and Chris's smile at the camera was completely genuine. "Do you want to be in the picture too?" yearbook girl asked Becky. "Not really," Becky said, trying to count. "Okay," said yearbook girl, and turned the camera vertically and fiddled with the lens. "Perfect," she said under her breath, and clicked the shutter.